Pray with me. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. First of all, happy Valentine's Day. But today we're celebrating the transfiguration of our Lord, which in many ways is also, I think, a celebration of love. Before the transfiguration of our Lord, Jesus calls the crowds with his disciples and says to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Jesus' words are a call away from the trappings of the world that only provide temporary joy and pleasure, and ultimately lead to a life of self-love and death. But he calls his followers to eternal life, life filled with the presence of God and the eternal joy of sharing in the resurrected glory of the Son. To give his disciples courage that a life of self-giving love and self-giving sacrifice will lead to eternal life, and to fortify their hearts so they can move toward the kingdom of God, which has the power to truly give life through suffering. Jesus tells them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." And 6 days later, Jesus fulfills his promise. He takes with him Peter, James, and John and leads them up a high mountain so they can see the kingdom of God has come with power, fulfilling his promise to them. Now, mountains in Holy Scripture are where God and humans meet. On Mount Sinai, Moses encounters God and he receives God's word, his law, his Torah. On Mount Horeb, another name for Mount Sinai, the great prophet Elijah encounters God. And here, on this high mountain, the disciples experience the sheer presence and glory of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. They experience the full divinity and glory of the Son of God. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. Jesus' inner circle of disciples experience heaven on earth, the power of the kingdom inbreaking in the world, in the person of Jesus Christ. Earlier, Jesus explained that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he told them that he would come again in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And now his disciples witness a glimpse of the glory of Christ's resurrection, the divine glory of Christ when he returns to transform the world and bring an end to suffering, sin, and death. And then there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Both Old Testament figures converse with God, and now they have a conversation with God the Son about his suffering and death in Jerusalem. Now both Elijah and Moses experienced theophanies, encountered God on mountains. Jesus talks to Moses, who gave God's law to God's people, and Elijah, the great prophet. His conversation with them reveals to us that Jesus is the Holy One to whom Moses and Elijah had talked about. He is the one who fulfills all God's promises and purposes for salvation. Jesus was accused of transgressing the law and thought a blasphemer because he claimed to be one with God, to be God. But since Moses gave the law to the people, Moses would not have shown honor to Jesus if he had transgressed the law. And Elijah, who was jealous for the glory of God, would not have let Jesus speak to him if Jesus was trying to claim God's glory for himself, as some claimed, and was not truly God the Son in glory. Earlier, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." And now we see that he truly is not Elijah, but he is truly the Messiah, as Peter declared. And he is the Son of God. Moses' face shone when he came down from Mount Sinai because he had encountered God. But Jesus radiates and shines before the disciples because he is God, the Son of righteousness. Moses was unable to see God face to face, but now he's able to look into the face of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, Jewish tradition has it that Moses and Elijah were both transported in heaven. Our Old Testament reading tells us of how Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. In the first century, Jewish historian Josephus tells us Jews associated Moses with exaltation to heavenly glory. Here on the mountain, the disciples experience heaven on earth. Then Peter said to him, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Now, perhaps Peter's words about making three booths has to do with the Festival of Booths, in which the Jews would build huts to remind them of God's delivering them from bondage and providing for them in the wilderness. Now, this festival also had a sense of anticipation. It looked forward to the Messiah coming. The prophet Zechariah said that all nations will come and worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the feast of the booths. Light was an important part of the festival. So it at least seems reasonable that Peter thought he was experiencing the glory of the Messiah and his reign over the nations. And given the appearances of Moses and Elijah, he may have thought he was experiencing heaven on earth. We can't blame him really for wanting to stay there. But it would be kind of foolish for him to build tabernacles. No need for tabernacles if you were already in heaven. And Peter's words are a blatant disregard and denial of what Jesus had said earlier about his death and resurrection. Jesus' glory comes only by the way of the cross, which is why Peter is interrupted by God himself. Like the cloud that overshadowed Mount Sinai, God's presence and glory tabernacling in the cloud overshadows them. The overshadowing of them by God reminds us of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary, so the Word can become flesh and tabernacle among us. And from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. "This is my Son, the Beloved." These are the words God spoke about Jesus at our Lord's baptism. They identify Jesus as God's Son and the Davidic King mentioned in Psalm 2. They also point to the Holy One who would bring God's gift of the Holy Spirit to the people mentioned by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus is the suffering servant who will rescue God's people from death and place in their hearts the Holy Spirit. Abraham's beloved son Isaac was spared death. But God's beloved son will give his life on the cross to destroy death so we can live. And God commands the disciples, his followers, to listen to him. Elijah and Moses are no longer present. Only Jesus. Because he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He is the full revelation of God and God's word of salvation and love for the world. Jesus, and only Jesus, has the words of eternal life. And Jesus' word is a word of love through suffering. It is a word of glory through the cross. The fulfillment of Jesus' mission and destiny is not on the mountain. It is in Jerusalem. To listen to Jesus is to take up our cross and follow him, which is exactly what the disciples do. They follow Jesus and come down from the mountain. Today we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord, but we also celebrate our transfiguration. Jesus was not changed on that mountaintop. He was always the divine Son of God. What really changed on that holy mountain was the perception of the disciples. They were the ones who were truly changed by the experience. It would take some time before the full impact of what they experienced to affect them. Our transfiguration begins at baptism and will be complete on the day of our resurrection. And in between baptism and resurrection is our daily drawing on God's baptismal grace so that we can continue to daily be transfigured. As Christians, our life is one defined by and guided by Christ's love for us and our love for Christ. Each day through prayer and studying of Scripture, living in the fellowship of the saints, nourished by the sacraments, we fall deeper in love with Jesus. And Christ, who deeply loves humankind with all his being, continues to transfigure us, to be a people of self-giving, extravagant, abundant love. And as bearers of Christ, as people filled with the light of God's love, we go out into the world. We show the world in the midst of hate that they too are loved by Christ, who gave his life so they too could have rich, full, and abundant life and life-changing, life-giving, no ending, love. Amen.